Stop what you're doing.
Stop right there.
Okay.
Let's go. You're now tuned into the hottest show on the planet, The Smith Express Show.
Yo, what's poppin'? It's your boy Smith. We here live on The Smith Express Show. You know what I'm saying? Been a busy day interviewing left to right. Hey, this next guest right here, definitely a longtime friend of mine, probably 10 plus years in the game together. You know what I'm saying? Very influential, then inspired a lot, motivated a lot, definitely put on a lot. You know what I'm saying? Hey, make some noise for the big partner, Cal. You know what I'm saying? Rev, what's popping, my G?
Man, feeling good. Good, man. How about you?
Oh, man. It's lovely out here, man. Hey, but right now, it's all about you, boss, man. Man, it's a lot to even talk about, discuss. You know what I'm saying? You've been in the game for a minute. You done worked with a lot of people, put in a lot of work. You feel me?
Damn, that's pretty much
20
years in the game, bro.
20 years in the game. Man, so, like, how is it now from when you very first started? As far as...
It's a whole lot different. I mean, you've learned over the years. You acquire, knowledge from different spaces in the industry. Not just the music industry and the entertainment industry I'm talking about, because I diversified myself and took myself into places to where I thought I could never be at, you know, coming from where I came from. So, and
that's,
you know,
dope.
It's a blessing to be here, brother.
Oh, man, I'm already knowing, because, like, 20 years in the game, man, that's a lot. A lot of people don't even last 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have thick skin and you know, just a very intuitive mind to get through the hard shit and get to the good shit, you know what I mean?
Hey, that's real talk. So, like, you know what I'm saying? What were some of your inspirations on how you even got started?
Well, you know, it started from when I just started doing music. So I started doing music, like, fresh out of high school. So as soon as I got out of high school, you know, a lot of people want to party and go to college and these, you know, sorts of things. I just got out, went straight, made a studio. You know what I mean? So, just to give people an introduction, I started off as an artist. So, I was doing the rapping thing for a little bit, and then I was like, well, and this was, and remember, this was back 20 years ago when home studios were kind of like a new thing. You know what I mean? So, because now, if you fast forward to now, home studios are everything. Everybody has a damn home studio now. You know what I mean?
Hey.
Home studios and all that. So I came from that era to where I was fresh out there, and I knew that just buying the right equipment and learning up on music theory that I can make a business out of this. So being an artist and having an intuitive mind and having great people around me, I built a studio, I built a business, and learned graphic design, website development, all self-taught too. So
that's dope. And,
even being my own, legal advisor too. You know, just studying up on every piece of the game that I can to be ahead of everybody else.
That's dope. So, like, as the years gone by, let's just say from a music standpoint, from then to now, what's your opinion and how you feel about the way rap music is and how it's changed and how it's received nowadays? Because back in the days, if you wasn't on a CD, they wasn't hearing you. Now, in today's era, it's like you just click on a button and boom, you know, your music is everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, but that, see, I think I was talking about this about last month in another interview. So for one, how do I feel about the way that hip hop is going now, and just music in general? I feel like, see, I try to explain this the best way I could. Like I said last month. there's always going to be a generational gap with music within, you know, I would say a good 10-year span and on. So as we get older, our taste of music changes, you know, as far as our upbringing too, you know what I mean? It has a lot to do with it, but I feel like you have to think back when, you know, we were younger, we listened to street shit, you know what I mean? We listened to, you know, like Tupac and Biggie, and for me, I listened to a lot of local artists too, like, you know, that came from the hood. So all of this music was a whole lot different to where we can say, man, that was real music because we lived in that era. But then you fast forward 20 years and now the music is changing. And now that I think we feel that we're at this age and we hear the shit that's out now, and we're like, come on, like, what is this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now you have to think 20 years ahead of where we are, and then now think where that, like, what music is going to be in 20 years as far as the hip-hop culture is concerned, you know what I mean? I think it's going to be trash.
Yeah, man. I mean, and that's the thing, like, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, to each his own, you know, with this new era, it's something here and there, but, you know what I'm saying, it's just not my cup of tea, all in all. You know what I'm saying? To each, you know what I'm saying? To each his own.
I mean, there's a select few, man. There's a select few cats that I listen to, and I'm like, okay, yeah, they on the right track, you know what I mean? But, again, this is the entertainment industry. Things can change, any split second for an artist, a producer, whoever, you know what I mean? You can get rich and you can get poor real quick.
True. I definitely agree. And by being poor real quick is making the wrong investments.
Yeah. And well, that too, and keeping wrong people around you.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean? You have to have a solid team, and to where, if you communicate with them, to where you ain't bullshitting. Like, you got to think like a businessman. You got to be straight in the face with it. So if you don't do that, you know, you're not gonna have a solid circle around you, and you're not gonna succeed. You know what I mean?
I definitely agree. So, like, you know, you say you jumped straight out of high school, you know, you started the music thing, and you go by the name Rev. Is there a specific reason or meaning behind that name?
Yeah, so it came from the full Revelation 810 is what I used to call myself back in the day. You know what I mean? So that made me sound like a gospel artist or something.
Yeah.
So everybody that heard the full name was like, "Oh, is he a gospel rapper? Is he in church rapping?" So I was like, I had to kind of shorten it down because everybody used to call me Big Rip. It's funny because I'm a short guy, right? So I'm 5'5". So everybody used to call me Big Rev because of the voice. Because I have a lower tone voice and shit. So every time I used to talk to people, they thought I was like this big 6'2" black guy and shit. I'm like, nah, I'm a small little Mexican. So, you know, so, but the actual verse from the Bible was, the third angel blew his trumpet and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and fell on a third of the rivers. So I had a metaphorical thing with that to where it broke down, but then I had to, like, get away from that deep thinking because I already knew where the industry was going. It was just being dumbed down. So everybody just started calling me Red. That's where it's at.
That's what's up. So, I mean, so you just jumping into the music field, was there a specific time or moment where, after recording so many songs, where you knew this is where you were destined to be? Or, you know, You know how people get that one feeling like, oh, okay, this is it. You know, like, was there a specific time or moment where you just knew you was destined to be the next superstar or to be the person you are today?
What was crazy is that, like, I never wanted to be famous. You know what I mean? I just wanted to make music. So I started making music, like I said, damn near 20 years ago, and it was whack. Like, I hated it. Like, now that I listen back to it, it was experimental for me back then. You know what I mean? So I was trying to find my niche. I was trying to find my voice. I was trying to discover new lanes. And when you try to discover too many lanes, you kind of get lost in the sauce. You know what I mean? So you have to sit back and kind of strategically pan things and then make it right. So just to fast forward, because I know we got a limited amount of time here. So
no, you could talk your shit. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? We gonna definitely get it. You know what I'm saying? Get what you had to put out.
So yeah, so when I started recording, I was whack. Like that shit was whack as hell. I ain't gonna lie. Like I tell the truth all the time. That shit was whack. It wasn't up until about 2008, 2009, to where I started really finding my voice. I was finding my my niche. Where I knew I had something, you know what I mean? So I started making these songs, I started writing hooks, I started co-producing. So a lot of these things came easy to me. And I don't know where it came from, like it was just easy. So another person asked me, like, what was your process up to that point? I don't have an answer. It's like, you have a dream, and you wake up, and boom, shit's there. You know what I mean? So it just happened. So in 2010, I won an award for a song called Winner, which was on, it was featured on, I think, was it NASCAR, Major League Baseball, Root Sports, Fox Sports. So that's when everybody was like, oh, okay, yeah, you got it. So then in that era, or that time, this is where it starts getting serious. So I had a manager back then, which is still my good friend till today, Church. So I don't know if anybody knows what the Church movement is, but, I mean, you know,
yeah, I'm familiar. You know, I'm pretty sure that they are with the whole Chicago scene, the slang and all.
Yeah, so that was my manager. Excuse me. And then I had got signed to, I was about to sign to Marshall Thompson from the Shy Lights. And Joe Jackson, Michael Jackson's father, had a company that was being distributed by Blu-ray Discs. And I was just about to sign. I literally had the contract in hand. My signature was on it after, you know, the legal review was done. And then, and this was when I was touring too in Chicago and through the Midwest region a lot. So I was doing shows. I know you remember some of them shows.
Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Around that time, like, that's when we first met. Like, that's when you appeared. That's when we first linked. You know what I'm saying? And I came to your house with the cameras and everything.
Yeah. So, we was doing shows. You know, my crib was pretty much the after party. The after party spot.
Oh, yeah, everybody.
In the studio, you know, everybody was there, man. Good times, yeah. So I was gonna sign. And then I had got woken up out of my drunken stupor by one of my buddies, and he was like, "Yo, Mike just died," meaning Michael Jackson. So I'm like, what the fuck? Not only is that just fucked up just in general, but I knew that was going to change and alter, you know, my deal that was popping. You know what I mean? So at that point, it was an epiphany for me to just kind of veer off and get out of the industry and go another route.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? So it wasn't like I'm always going to have music in my blood, like, obviously. You know what I mean? And we'll get into that talk a little bit, but it was kind of an epiphany for me to, like, this is a sign for me to get the fuck out. You know what I mean?
Man.
So I took heed to it, and I diversified, and in the, you know, in the intermediate time, I met a lot of great people in different places and different industries too. You know what I mean? So I always used to suit up back then. I know you remember I used to suit up and get out there. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So I met a lot of great people in a lot of great spaces to where I can learn from them and make other business ventures pop off.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Are you able to speak on some of those business ventures? Are they still going on at this moment?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, that can turn into a long conversation, brother. But
hey, we could do a part two.
Possibly. I mean, it might take a part two, part three, part four of this motherfucker. You know what I'm talking about? But. When I had got out the game, I guess, quote unquote, I started moving into, again, I kept a great network, so I moved into streaming, video streaming per se. So, again, this was in 2009, maybe, and this is when streaming was different back then, just for video and audio, you know, both hand in hand, it wasn't where it was now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when you used to try to stream things back in the day, they would be, you'd have that lag or you'd have the pixelation on the video and it would just be terrible. It would take up a lot of bandwidth. So I met some of the greats in the streaming game, and man, we did a lot, man. There's some things I can't talk about just based upon, you know, NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, but trust me, bro. I was a great influence on a lot of people. You know what I mean, and not just myself too. You know, we had a team of people that had the science behind it, that had the coding behind it, so we were all kind of in tune with each other. And then I got into telemedicine or telehealth, which is huge now. So, you know, 10 years ago, it was kind of new.
Yeah. So,
you know, telemedicine is a multi-billion dollar industry, you know what I mean? So I'm in that space too. Nonprofit organization. I'm in that space too.
That's...
So I'm in a lot of. I have my hand in a lot of cookie jars, basically.
That's
and it took me. And it took me this long to get to that point to where I understand it. Not just the gist of it, but also the black and white. You know, the contracts and the agreements of it. So. I'm in a whole different space now.
That's what's up. That's what's up. So I mean, at this very moment, musically, I see you kind of on a nice comeback. You know, you dropping a couple of tracks here and there. What's next for you? Are you working on an EP, a mixtape, or an album, or are you just doing random singles?
Yeah, so I'm doing random singles. I mean, that's how the game is played nowadays. Like, the whole full album thing is here and there. You know what I mean? I mean, unless you're an established artist that deserves your roses for a long time, albums are kind of out the window. You know what I mean? And I know where the industry is going even 10 to 20 and 30 years from now, too. So I can foresee it. So for me, shit, I'm pushing 40 now. So, I gotta just cut that shit off. So this is my last hoorah.
Damn. Hey, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it's like, you know what I'm saying? You always been a talented dude musically. You know what song that I was just listening to that I forgot that I had on my phone that I swear to God I fucking love, bro?
What's that?
It's a song, it's you, Rhino, and I can't think of this other guy's name, but the song's called Impossible.
Oh, yeah, my man Justin. Yep.
Yeah, shout out to Justin.
Hey, I brought that boy out of retirement too. So we have two songs together that we have wrote together that's coming out pretty soon, and they're great records. You know what I mean? They're a little bit more grown. You know, they're grown records, but they definitely are great records. But that was a good record. I could still listen to that today and still kind of put that against any record that I feel is dope now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, hey, that song, man, oh my God. Like, from the production to the verses to the hook, like, everything was on point. That whole project in general was a dope project. It's just that's one of the songs on that project that really stood out to me that you know what I'm saying, especially coming at that time when that album was released, it's like nobody was doing music like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate that, brother. And that song, like, I still remember that song. Like, I still remember the writing process of it because me and Ryan were messing with the beat. And then, because he used to, Rhino, my man Ryan, he used to produce a lot back then. So I would do a lot of co-producing and just kind of, because I was doing so much back then, I can only co-produce. I couldn't fully produce. And he was so good at it to where I could just come in and say, hey, adjust this and do that and do this, and then it would just come. And then, back then, Justin was doing his singing thing, so I said, man, look, we got to bring Justin in for this one. And then I had wrote half of the hook. And then Justin came in and he was like, all right, cool, I'm going to pop off of that. And then boom, and that was that.
Man, hey, and you know what I'm saying? That's really dope to see that he's back in the game, man. Because, you know what I'm saying, all y'all are missed. Like, that whole era, that whole squad that you once was with, like, y'all was definitely doing your thing. You know, for real.
Yeah, appreciate it, brother. That was good times, man.
Man, hella good times, bro. So look, let me ask you this. In your opinion only, what are your top five in the Midwest underground era?
Midwest as the whole Midwest or just...
Like the Indiana era? Because, you know what I'm saying? I done traveled from state to state, left the country and all. It's like no cap. Like, I love Indiana music. I don't know why Indiana is not on the way it's supposed to be on, but Indiana got some extremely talented people that I feel like have what it takes to take it to Tupac and them level if they wanted to. You feel me?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of talented artists out here. You know what I mean? There's a lot of talented artists everywhere.
But yeah, Indiana, I don't know why Indiana has not gotten that shine and that glow.
What's crazy is, and I'm gonna take it back a little bit. So, the internet is pretty much everything. You know what I mean? is everything nowadays. But I seen it a long time ago. I seen where things were going. So before even, like, I was young and I had AOL. Remember that shit where you had to call?
I'm already knowing.
Yeah, so I was, before that, when that shit came out, I had, like, this that I had to get from, like, the mall back in the days to get free internet and kind of hack my way into the internet. So, as a child, I was probably, like, 11 years old on the internet. And I was learning all these things, and I knew this was what it was going to be in the future.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So all the Midwest artists that I've dealt with, and you know me, I know all of them.
Oh, yeah, I'm already knowing.
You know, I have some good friendships with them still. And when I was introduced to them, or vice versa, they weren't even privy to the internet back then. So they didn't know about streaming, or they didn't know about uploading your music to a digital platform and making money from that. So I was always ahead of the game. So a lot of those artists now that we have conversations now that were older, they're like, man, you was always ahead of the game. You were always, you know, a step ahead of everybody else, and you moved in a different way. So I guess I was kind of a nerd, but I knew where everything was going. So I knew that was going to be the future of music, of people's lives, just everything. You know what I mean?
I could definitely agree and vouch for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you was definitely a hit of the game. For real, but it's just like with Indiana, the talent level is so crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just, like, man, when Indiana shine and it gets that proper shine it deserves, Indiana's going to shine like no other state.
I think Indiana is known. It's just, you have to, like, if you're speaking just from the hip-hop genre, like the urban genre, a lot of these artists don't know how to handle the business aspect of things. So if you don't, like, this business, like, again, what I just said, it's a business. It's not about talent all the time. You know what I mean? And that goes for anything. That goes for, you know, trying to be a great artist or even working in the publishing sector.
Yeah. I agree. It just, you know what I'm saying? Like, Indiana is just so dope to me. You know what I'm saying? From the first day I stepped in there, you know what I'm saying? To really messing with you and, you know what I'm saying, your camp and how you introduced me and just seeing the talent. Like, I you know what I'm saying? And it's probably out there, but I've never seen an actual weak Indiana artist where I could be like, this nigga weak.
No. I mean, now that I'm back in the game and keeping my ear in tune, man, it's just whack now. Like I said earlier, man, I really can't get into this new generation.
Oh yeah, you. I feel you, but I'm talking about like even like especially back then, like when Indiana was rapping and, you know what I'm saying, rapping and everything was about lyrics. I think Indiana was up to pace with everything.
Yeah, because you have to think, like, the Midwest was influenced by every other part. So there was never a mid, and still there's really no Midwest quote unquote industry. So even back then, it was all East Coast, West Coast, and the South. The South came after the East and West movement. So, you know, the Midwest was keeping in tune with all of that. So the Midwest had the influence from all three of those parts. So they learned and adapted on how to create certain, you know, certain flows and certain cadences.
True. I agree. You know what I'm saying? I could definitely see that. But, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, Indiana got some really dope artists, though. Like, you know what I'm saying? And you know, and I think that those that did peak and those that was able to reach the top didn't rep Indiana as hard as it should have been rep, you know? Because you a lot of people would be surprised to who is from Indiana.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, look at Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson, it's a lot. Mike Epps is from Indiana. Babyface, you know what I'm saying? Babyface, Kevon Edmonds, the After Seven group.
There's a ton of them, but they break a different way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it just
the rap shit to me. I don't know, man. Like,
I try to always think
10 to 20 years ahead. You know what I mean? So I can't speak for any artist that's doing what they're doing. I put my time in the game. You know what I mean? I help people, and you know, I try to get them on the right track and try to, you know, give them the blueprint, I guess.
True.
But you know, some people don't take heed to it, or they find another avenue, or they think they're smarter than me, which is probably almost goddamn impossible. But
I'm already knowing. Man, I'm already knowing. So, like, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, this interview with you, because you do so much, it might seem like, oh, we bouncing around here and there, and it's just with you, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's so much to cover, and we can actually talk about and discuss, you know what I'm saying, have a legitimate conversation about. Because it's like, you was also into the medicine field. Like, how did you get into that?
So, I met some people through, you know, mutual friendships. And again, I was out here, you know, putting on suits, networking with different people. Because I knew music was my passion, music was my love. But I knew that I was smart enough to go into different areas. So I knew that shit wasn't going to live for long. So I have to diversify and explore different avenues and put my hand in the cookie jars. You know what I mean? So, I can spark a conversation with anybody, whether it's corporate, whether it's, which I've done already. I've sat in corporate rooms. I've sat in hood situations to where, you know, you're going to get popped up, you know what I mean? So, I guess I've always had the respect from both sides, because I've never tried to be someone other than myself. So I can, like I said, I can have conversations with different people from different walks of life and get into their minds and make things happen.
That's dope. That's dope. So, and then, like, so what year was it when you actually entered the whole medicine field?
Well, I wouldn't say medicine, because that's kind of, you know, quarantine.
Oh, yeah. What?
No, but I feel like that's quarantining that, you know, that specific word. But, this was about 2009, maybe. Yeah, somewhere around that, 2009, 2010. I met some people, like, again, through mutual relationships, and you know, we just collectively came together and figured out where all these different industries were going, and everybody had their, you know, professional expertise and what they were doing. And then we were like, okay, let's do this. Let's make it happen. You know what I mean? So again, it's hard for me to talk about these things because I know so much about everything. It's kind of hard to pinpoint how much knowledge I have and to where, you know, I'm not going to get into a long story. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It's, hey, part two next week. Man. Because, like, bro, like, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, even back, you know what I'm saying, from you know what I'm saying, from all that you have under your belt, you know what I'm saying, musically, you know what I'm saying, you've worked with some of the greats musically. You know what I'm saying, from Joe Jackson to Twista to, you know what I'm saying, Traxxta.
Yeah, me and Twista got a new song coming, you know what I mean?
That's what's up.
Yeah, me and Twista got a track coming out. We're just trying to find the right production.
That's what's up.
That'll match our styles. But I got Twist on there. I got Shy Lights on there. So it's gonna be a good last hoorah.
That's what's up. And what this is, you saying like this is your final project?
What's funny is that I had an interview, a video interview that was aired on Villain Radio with my homie Rob about a month and a half ago, maybe 2 months. And I kind of played that interview like I wanted to play it. It's kind of funny, you know what I mean? You know, I always stay ahead of the game, but. But he was like, on air, he was like, oh, man, let's do a Villain Radio EP.
That's dope.
So I'm like, all right, fuck it. Let's do it. So I was thinking he might have forgot about that shit. But I'm actually the one that came and hit him back up. I was like, oh, fuck it, let's do it. Like, why not? Like, this is what keeps me sane. You know what I mean? So... making music now keeps me sane. So that's what I do it for. I keep my sanity making music.
That's what's all.
Just being in the studio. So it makes me, you know, happy. And that's, that, you know, that's a hard thing to come by nowadays.
Man, who you telling? So much going on, especially this year alone.
Yeah, 2020, man. Like, see, 2020 didn't change me because I've always been an introvert. So I've always just stuck in the crib or made my moves in silence and, you know, went about my business. I didn't bother nobody. Actually, humans piss me off every day, but, you know, so...
Man.
I just keep things moving the way I move, you know what I mean?
That's what's up. Do you got a release date for the project, EP that you're doing with Villain?
Nah, I'm just trying to figure it out as I go, because like I said, I'm just going song by song. So my process now is that my track selection is so insane because. You have to think, too, I work in the publishing game.
Right.
So I have my own company, which me and Ryan are still involved. You know what I mean? We're owners of the company. So, you know, I work in the publishing sector. So I get music submissions all the time.
That's dope.
And that I'm trying to put other people on. Like, I don't care about making myself famous or doing any of that bullshit, but I hear other artists that are hungry and I hear it and I'll be like, no, that's just whack. I don't even want to deal with it. So I like just playing the A&R role, which is what I've been doing too. I can get into that with the Cardi B shit too. You know what I mean? So that might be episode two.
That might be episode two. Cardi B coming soon. Yeah, I already know. Live, you know what I'm saying? Live on the Smith Express Show.
Yeah, so. but the I have a very selective way of doing things. So I know when I hear a song, like I have to listen to about 1,000 beats a week to find out if I can do this. You know what I mean? Just based, because my voice, like I hate my voice. So my voice is very strange. So I have to try to find a track that I can navigate on, and I know that it can sound right in my flow doing this song. So it's very selective now.
That's dope, though.
Long story short, I guess that was a long story. I don't know when the villain EP is going to be done, but it'll be done pretty soon. Because when I find something, I work quick. You know what I mean? So I just get in there like I'm one take Jake. I boom, knock that shit out, and I'm done.
That's what's up, man. You know what, bro? Because, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm dabbling back into the music field. Hey, but before you call it quits, bro, we definitely got to collab on something.
I'm with it.
You know what I'm saying? You hear it here live, Rev and Smith. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've been to your studio. We recorded a couple times. You know what I'm saying? I've seen your process. Like, bro, you know what I'm saying? Everything's mutual, you know what I'm saying? Nobody forcing to be like somebody or sound like something. Like, I think we got that genuine connection. I think we'll work good together.
Yeah, you know me. I'm with it. So.
Oh, yeah. Hey, most stuff. Hey, if Justin could hear this, man, when he hear this, hey, I definitely, now that he's back, hopefully he's back for.
No, he ain't back. He's actually doing acting now.
Oh yeah, I'm already know. I definitely keep up with him. I see he on his shit. You know what I'm saying? But I just need that one good hook, one last time, because me and him collabed before, on a song called Lifeguard, and was crazy.
I think I remember.
Yeah, and to me, like, a lot of people say, like, I've accomplished a lot, or if I did Woo Out the Bim, but I think that was my biggest accomplishment. When that song was selected for a random couple wedding, and they kept the curse words in and everything. Yeah, so to me, like, to see, like, that's dope, you know what I'm saying? But he killed that hook so crazy. Like, I'm talking, like, I described it with a, you know what I'm saying? He just went in, like, boom. And you know what I'm saying? What I like working with Justin is that, like, he's not a, you know what I'm saying? His response game is quick, you know what I'm saying? He don't take long.
With me and Justin in the booth, man, or we in the studio, man, it's real easy. Because you know how, like, when you try to be a songwriter, right, versus, you know, you can pay a singer to sing your hook for, you know, $300,
$400. Yeah.
And then just pay them off, and they don't even get publishing for the shit. So, even if I write the hook, or even if I write most of the hook, I'll still put, you know, on the publishing side, I'll still put a little bit more on top for people, just because I want them to, you know, get a little bread and flourish. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, most stuff though, most stuff. So, I mean, but even publishing, like, a lot of artists nowadays thinking rapping is just rapping and, you know what I'm saying, lights, cameras, actions. A lot of people is not even really in tune to the publishing, you know what I'm saying? And I think that's another episode we could talk about, because, like, that's pretty much important.
Yeah, we actually had this conversation on Rob's shit, last Sunday. To where they were talking about how Lil Wayne sold his masters, right?
Yeah.
So you gotta think, why would somebody sell their masters?
Do you think, in your opinion, that was a good move?
Yeah. I mean, again, this is debatable. Because we don't know the black and white or the background decisions of what's happening. we had the conversation to where it almost felt like if you talk about the stock market and you get the plug on the stock market and you see some things that's happening, or you get the word from somebody that shit ain't going right, or, you know, do certain things with that stock, that's kind of what we talking about.
Right, because, like, what people don't understand is that when he sold the publishing to Young Money, he from the jump, and from my understanding, he never owned 100% of anything. You know, no artist that's under any artist that's signed to a nigga, 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 owns 100% of anything that they do. So, for him to...
And that's one good thing I can say about myself. I own all of my masters.
Yeah, man. Hey, same here, bro. But with Wayne and, you know, the Drake and Nicki Minaj Young Money catalog, like, I'd probably say out of 100%, I don't even think Wayne owns 50% of it. You feel me?
Because again, I don't know those details, and it's not my business, but I feel like he made a decision based upon what, again, this can go a lot of ways. This can go how that artist is feeling. That can go based upon how many drugs you're taking. That can go based upon what your management says. There's a lot of factors put into that. So you have to look at it. You know, Lil Wayne been part of the game for a minute, so I think just from his standpoint, he probably made a good decision.
You know what I'm saying? And like, when people look up his net worth, when people look up his net worth, people see that his net worth was 150 million.
But this is what you gotta stop thinking about. Like, all that Google shit, when you watch net worth, don't follow that.
Oh yeah, but I'm saying, like, with people, when those that do look it up, net worth is not what you have in your pocket. And I think for him to sell for 100 million, I think, like, and to pocket 100 million, I think that I don't even believe he had 100 million in, you know, with him. So this right here definitely just put him up 100 million. But in my opinion, though, Wayne has so much work, Nicki and Drake have so much work, that if you are going to sell your masters, he could have sold them for a lot more than just 100 million. But like I said, he's only selling his percentage of what he's entitled to sell. And that's not, I'm pretty sure it's not 100% of those catalogs. So I'm pretty sure it's like a 20%, 30%. So, you know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. And you got to think, too, like, we don't know what the artist is going through personally. Because a lot of things that happen in the industry when you're behind the scenes, is a lot of personal shit that you don't see. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I'm already knowing.
Again, we don't know the stipulations and those things in the black and white. So I think he, you know, I hope he made a good decision for it, what he was doing.
And the thing is that even though we're just not hearing the news, the deal was made back in June. So I'm pretty sure, you know what I'm saying, whatever it is he sold, he's gotten the wind of it and got it under control and understanding by now, hopefully. Because that's what, like 6 months ago.
And the thing is for me is when you get into these type of situations, man, and when you're in the game for that long and you've been around almost everything you can in that space, that shit is very toxic, bro.
Oh yeah, very toxic. I'm already knowing. Hey, and that's another episode. You know what I'm saying?
That's definitely another. I can get into some shits with that, bro. Because I've been there. I've done that.
On me, you definitely showed me some things, though. You feel me? Definitely enlightening. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, when I go through certain things, I just handle it the way you taught me how to handle it.
Yeah, I didn't do shit, bro.
Come on, bro. I learned so much just watching you and being around you and you guys, you know what I'm saying? Whether if I speak on it or not, you know what I'm saying? Like, I definitely learned some shit from you, though.
A lot of people learn a lot of shit from me, man, but they still haven't learned everything.
Yeah, and you know what I'm saying? Like I said, like for the time that we was hanging and going hard, you know what I'm saying, at the warehouse and all that, you know what I'm saying, we was going hard with it. Like I definitely learned a lot how to handle the business specifically. You know what I'm saying? The understanding of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I still remember the last time you was at my crib too.
Man, that's another episode. Man, for real. Hey, you know what I'm saying? Like, but you know what I'm saying? The time is approaching. You know what I'm saying? I got to let you go, boss. You know what I'm saying? Next week, hey, we definitely going to pick up, you know what I'm saying, where we left off. You know what I'm saying? Hey, we're going to definitely get it in.
Yeah.
So hey, but before we leave, before you dip though, bro, for those that's tuning in to the game, you know what I'm saying, that's tuning in, and you know what I'm saying, and they want to get in the game. Do you got any influential words, any encouraging words for them?
Don't do it. I don't know, man. You know, it's all subjective, you know, so it's based on that person. So if you want to be successful, man, I wish nothing but success for anybody. But this industry, like other industries, can be toxic, so you have to play the game right. And I think you have to play every position.
Oh, yeah, true.
So that's my ending statement.
For sure, bro. Hey, it's definitely an honor to have you on my show, man.
For sure, brother. I love it.
Real talk. Good luck. Hey, we definitely got a lot covered, even though this is the beginning. You know what I'm saying? We definitely got a lot covered. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we might need to make a series out this
year. I swear to God, every week.
Let's go.
Man, all right, for sure, boss.
All right, man. Take it easy, brother.
All right, you too.
Yep.
All right. Yo, that's the big homie Rev. You know what I'm saying? Spent a little time with him. You know what I'm saying? Under him. You know what I'm saying? Paying homage. He definitely showed me the ropes, some ropes. I learned a lot. You know what I'm saying? Whether if it was specifically meant for me to learn or me just being around and I just picked up, you know what I'm saying, certain things and what I picked up, I just dug into it and learned more of it. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely, you know what I'm saying? Definitely an education. You know what I'm saying? Definitely something that I could take for the rest of my life, man. Salute to the big homie Rev. Shout out to everybody in Indiana, man. Y'all so damn talented. It don't even make sense, man. For real, for real. I salute Indiana hard as fuck. Thanks for always accepting me. Thanks for always being a part of me. Man, you already know what it is. Smith Express, and we out. Let's get it.